Who made the shidduch? Not the shadchan. Not the shadchan.
No.
Not the couple themselves.
No, I
know. Hashem.
No.
Okay. We're learning Sharav Odus Elokim. Since your lives evolve around this shir, so I'll tell you now. So I'll tell you now that in 2 weeks I'll be in America. In two weeks, I'll be in America on Sunday. I'm going for the weekend. I'm going for the weekend.
Oh, and yes.
There's a big party in Art Scroll.
Wow.
And for the first time I said, I demand you, so I'm bringing me and my wife. I'm coming to the party.
What is the occasion that they're making a big party?
A few siyumim. We're finishing a few major projects and launching a few more. So it's November 5th to 8th,
so
something
like
that.
The 14th.
I'm going to be back Monday. I'm going away for the weekend, really. I just won't be here Sunday, that's all.
One Sunday.
I'm going away for the weekend. I'm leaving Thursday, coming back Monday.
Is Rebbeson staying on, or?
No, I'm up at home.
Oh.
We're going away for...
That's a real vacation. Second
time. We'll see.
You can sleep on
probably a working vacation.
No, not work. It's not work. It's all food. It's in a hotel. It's for the donors. It's going to be all rich people. I'm going to feel very uncomfortable there. When they finish the Shas, they made two parties when they finished the Shas. One was in one of these New York hotels, the New York Hilton, or like one of these major hotels. It was like disgustingly decadent. It was like, you know, I mean, they had,
hope you didn't say that.
The tank is gone, by the way.
They had their musicians walking around playing violin. It was a money maker. I mean, you know. Okay. So we sat like in the back, all the people that worked, that did all the work. We were like shunted to the back, like near the kitchen, you know, near the band, near the kitchen, you know. But then we made a private seum. And then that was nice. That was more spiritual. So this will be spiritual only. It'll be Shabbos. That'll be about it. That'll be the spirituality. Okay, we'll see. I'll meet people that I only work with over the computer, over the email. I want to meet them once every 10 years. Okay, we're learning Chovos HaLevavos, and we're hopefully gaining something out of it. I hope so. Sharav Odus Elokim, when Chovos HaLevavos puts forth the preposition, the proposition, that our Avodas Hashem, to be really healthy, and to be healthy and really proper, not to be coerced or forced, or just mitzvahs anoshim alumod, doing things by rote, to be heartfelt, we do it out of a sense of gratitude. That's his yesod. We talked about it ad infinitum, but we can't talk about it enough, because it's really something that we have to develop, and that's why we have to learn Shar HaBechina, because Shar HaBechina wakes us up to the knowledge of how much Hashem does for us. So I said, someone gives me a ride. So I say, thank you. So the ride really didn't affect my life that much. You know, he saved me some tircha, and saved me, let's say, a half hour. We've taken a bus, it gives me a ride. So I say, thank you. Maybe it's a chisaron. There should be more heartfelt gratitude. If you saved me a half hour, that's a half hour of life. Time is life. You can't, right? Time is, okay. But saying, we've said this Moshe before, if someone saves my life, or if someone saved my child's life, then we all have a little connection to what the Chovos HaLevavos wants us to feel towards Hashem. Right? If someone saves your life, if someone saved your child's life, you'll burst with you won't be able to sleep at night. You'll toss and turn thinking what you can do to pay the person back, how you can show your appreciation. Should you write a letter? Maybe you should write a letter. Maybe you should take out a full page ad in the paper. Maybe you should just, like, you don't know what to do. You're bursting with, 'cause we're wired that we wanna, that we're not mentioned. We're not enushius. Menschlichkeit demands that if someone does for us, we pay them back. And the why don't we feel that way towards our parents? Maybe you do. You know, why don't people in general, why aren't they bursting with gratitude towards their parents? We know what parents did for children. We can't even list it. We don't even remember. The child doesn't remember that you stayed up a whole night when he was feverish and you kept cold compresses against his head and he vomited over your new dress and, you know, who knows what. The child doesn't remember any of that. So the answer is, that's what the Chavetz Chaim talks about in Shaar HaBechina. He talks about that the obstacles to developing gratitude towards Hashem is we're used to it. We have it every day. The child, from when it's born and nursing, so it's used to the mother providing for all its needs. So it takes a lot of energy and self-awareness and introspection to stop and say, whoa, like, how can I can't begin to list everything my mother did for me, and so on and so forth. So that's what he tries to do in Shaar HaBechina. That's why Shaar HaBechina is a very important Shaar. Shaar HaBechina, he tries to make us aware, and he does it by he writes. Shaar HaBechina is like a science book. It's a science book of 1,000 years ago, very, very rudimentary. And he doesn't write the science book. He writes 10 lines about how the blood flows through the body. And what did he know about the blood? We, like, you know, probably a fifth grade child who's learned science, if they do, I don't know if they don't, if they go to cheder, they don't. But if they should, and they do, so a fifth grade child knows more than the Chavis HaLovis knows about the blood. That's reality. And the Chavis HaLovis is like, you know, unbelievable, the blood. And he talks about the blood clotting. And, like, you know, why don't you bleed to death every time you get a cut? And then some people have a problem with blood clotting. Like, they have a disease, they have a machla, and all of a sudden you chap that. And so on and so forth. So it's a science. Shaar HaBechina is science. It's astronomy and physics and biology and psychology. And he just talks about it. And he says, whoa, look. And the list is so long. So he wants you to study nature and science and the world. And, you know, and don't take things for granted. And don't be so used to them. So, and then you'll be able to say, truly, in a heartfelt way, and in Achman must speak him. The Holdus Lachah Hashem Elokeinu B'lokei Avol Seinu. Alachas Me Olef Elef Alfei Alofim V'Ribei Revavos Po'amim Atavos She'osishim Avosinu Mimonu. We can't thank Hashem enough, and then we'll feel it. I'll say, imagine, you know, the person that read a shidduch for your child, really, it saves your child's life. It should be a more common experience, I said, because of parents, but it's not, unfortunately. But then, you know, everybody has experience something where, like, I felt that way. I've expressed it to you already in the past with my sister and my son. I was once present when things happen when things are unusual. I used to work with agunas, as they're called, and back in America I was on a bez, and I used to work a lot with the women who needed getting. So there's one very tragic case where a woman, you know, many years went by, and then she got it. It's a long story, but she got it. She was like, forget about the, I don't know whether she was excited or happy, but I'm talking about now the thankfulness, the Hakaras HaTov, to the people involved. There's no other way to describe it. She was bursting. She was bursting with, like, what can I do? Like, how can I thank you? You know, we say it's a cheap words, but it's very true. You know, how can I thank you? How can I thank you, Hashem? That's what we say. How can I thank you? It's not possible. But so we should at least feel it. And that's what the Rambam describes in very romantic terms. Really, that's, if you open a Rambam, if you, only your husband's catch you opening a Rambam, but if you open a Rambam and you look in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud, the Rambam describes people in love. He describes a person with Hashem. He describes the emotions of a person in love who just keeps, thinks about, and you're always thinking what they're doing, and they're never far from your mind, and you're love struck. You know, you're in love, lovesick. As the Rambam says, "Kichol asavani." It's words in Shir Hashirim. It's not Goyish words. It's words that come from Shir Hashirim, because your mind, you're obsessed. It's an obsession. So, if we've ever experienced, say, you know, a major thankfulness, because it just, it's unusual. It's unusual. Someone gives us a ride, so we say thank you. You know, it doesn't mean that much to us. Maybe it should mean more than it does. As I said, if someone saves you 5 minutes, they're giving you 5 minutes of life. You really should. But, you know, maybe we don't. But certainly to channel, to tap into the hergish that we would feel if someone saved our lives, or someone, let's say someone, you go to a doctor, you know, you work out that you could have children. I imagine these people are like just overflowing with thanks, and that's where we are with Hashem. Nishmas really expresses it the best. Gabon and the Chavis, Allah wants us to feel that way, and that's why he wrote the whole Shar HaBechina. And then he wants us to do Hashem's will out of that sense of gratitude. That's Shara Vodas Elokim. He's speaking here about what spoils it. So he's already pierced. He's not even talking about, obviously, what spoils it is if you don't do Shara Bechina. If you never think about what Hashem has done for you, so obviously that spoils it, because you don't get started. He's talking now, after everything, that's what he said. He has his dialogue between the Nefesh and the Seichel. And in the first part of the dialogue, that's what we're up to. He said, okay, like, you know, check. You have a Karas HaTov to Hashem? Yes. You makir everything that Hashem does for you? Yes. He's already past where we're up to. He's up to a person that learned Shar HaYichud and Shar HaBechina. And he's overflowing with thanks, and he has this burning desire. That's what we learned in previous weeks, because it's still very, very hard to do. We're talking about high madrigas. Why are we learning it here, sitting around a table in someone's house? Why are we learning it if it's such a high madriga? Because the Chavis HaLovis himself writes throughout the Sefer that if you learn about an ideal, and you strive towards the ideal, so first of all, it's a good road sign, it's a marker, you know what you're striving for, so that's good, and you'll have a little of it. Maybe you won't have it every day, you won't have it 24 hours a day, but if, let's say, once a day you reach this peak where you just think about, let's say, history, and you think about your life, and you think about, like, and you go, wow, you know, thank you, Hashem. So that's it. That's all. If you can do it once a day, the Chavis HaLovis will feel very good. That's already wonderful. And then if you do a mitzvah out of that, then you've really climbed the mountain. Because, you know, we do mitzvahs out of a sense of duty. Mm-hmm. And that's the Chavis HaLovis is, you know, it's enough to keep us out of Gehenna, which is many people's goal in life, to stay out of Gehenna. And you will, there's no question about it. But it's sad. It's like we say in davening, Leman lo nigal lo rik, lo ne leid la behala. Like we work. And, you know, what do we have to show for it? We're doing the actions anyway. How much? It's hard, but it's not like he's asking us to do something. He's not making up Torah. He's saying, you know, Torah's Torah. So all we have to do is pour into what we're doing anyway, the right kavana, the right machshava, and we'll somewhat be able to do what he's talking about. Anyway, we're in this dialogue. So he's already passed, he's up to a person that's ready to go. He says it's hard, and it's like he compared it to medicine, and he says if you don't want to take the medicine, so you're just fooling the doctor. So what's the point? You have to really desire this, because bitter medicine, you have to want to be well. If you don't really want to be well, then you're not going to take the medicine. Like a doctor prescribes, let's say, an exercise regimen, but if you don't really want, if you don't want enough, so you're not going to do it. So what good is the doctor's prescription? That's what the Chavit HaLoda says. You're just wasting the doctor's time, and you're wasting your time and money on the doctor. If you don't want, and he's prescribing you bitter medicine, bitter meaning it's hard, it's not bitter, but it's hard. So he's past all of that. So now he says, what ruins this? No, he says, if you're eating the wrong foods, so the medicine is not going to do you any good. Very modern statement, but that's what he says. If you're not eating nutritionally correct foods, so what am I giving you medicine for? It's a waste of time to give you medicine. So the nefesh says, "Umahu amachol hara." What's the bad food that I'm eating? Why I'm not being able to serve Hashem, you know, in the right way? So he says two things. That's what we're up to. Amra haseichel. I don't know if you have the place. Hamidos hamagunos shabach rabos. We got a lot of work to do. Avol sharosham v'ikor and shtayim midos. There's really two negative forces in a person. Everything really is manifestations of these two negative forces. He's really giving us insight here. And he says, what's keeping us away from Hashem and serving Hashem properly are two negativities that are in us. And this is the bad food. And as long as you have this negativity, he says, I can't prescribe medicine for you. You're eating the wrong foods. What am I supposed to do? Achas mehem is that we want pleasure. We want physical pleasure. So anything that pulls us away from physical pleasure, whether it's anything, we have to make certain. It's not the goal of our lives. We have to focus on the spiritual, not on the physical. No one's asking us to torture ourselves, but that doesn't become the goal anymore. To have pleasure, to be comfortable, to feel good. Avas hanos hagufnius, and if you have ava for that, and that becomes right, listen, you live to eat instead of eating to live. And that becomes a goal of yours, your job and making money and having things, owning things, objects, because they make your life easier. This is all what he's talking about. And that becomes what you pursue. So that's negativity number one. That the body is physical and wants to be physically comfortable and have pleasure, physical pleasure. So that keeps you from serving Hashem. Achas ben avas hanos hagufnius ben amaychol mishte mishgol short tzorche gufcha v'hamido hazos konisa osa min shchein chora from your evil neighbor V'hu gufach, that's your guf. Your guf is not you. We mix up the two things. You're you. Who are you? You're not your guf. Your guf is just a labush. Your guf is just a guf. So, but he's your shachin. He's your neighbor. You can't get away from him like an obnoxious neighbor. And they're always there. So your guf is always there. And it's always pulling you. Amidah Hashenus is very insightful. Amidah Hashenus is that we want kavod. Avas Hasrara. That we want people to hold of us. We care about what people think about us. We want people to be machshiv us. We want people to know about things that we did. We want people to look up to us. We want people to praise us. We want people to hold of us. Agadula, v'ageyus, v'agayvus, v'akina, and we're jealous, right? We want to attain things that other people want. We're looking at the other fella. He mavia osach l'mayit b'shilum hagmul l'bal hatova etzlecha. That's how he describes avodas elokim. Payback time, paying back gmul l'bal hatova etzlecha, who does you tovos. Where do you get this from? The first thing you get from your body. Because we're physical people. You're shachin ra. Shachin ra. That's a good line. When we give a test on Chavis Halvavas, that's going to be a question on the test. Who is your shachin ra? And the answer is your guf. The answer is your guf. But it has a tremendous insight into it, that our guf is not us. It has an uplifting insight, saying that. That we're not our guf. We are our seichel, our nefesh, our comprehension, our knowledge of Hashem. That's who we are. And the second thing, where'd you get that from? He says, Mishchenecha, from your real neighbors. Asher has gadal to bin ayin v'heim ochicha krovecha. A person's not a person is sociable. A person lives has relationships. And everybody's always jockeying for position in those relationships. And you get caught up in it too. And you also want to... It's very hard with children, right? When they get married, it's even harder. It's harder. Everybody's jockeying for position. I tell them, there's no Yerusha. Forget it. Nothing to jockey for. That's Chavis Halavah says in Shari Yichad HaMaisa that most of life is spent by most people doing things because of what others will say, because of what others will, how others will react, how they'll look at me and what they'll say about me, and I won't be able to get a job, I won't be able to have friends if I don't, I won't be able to be able to do with my children what I'd like if I... He says, you spend your whole life looking over your shoulders. That's what he's saying here too. So he's saying these two things are the most negative forces in a person, and even if a person is ready to roll, he's ready to... He has a karas hatov tashem, he's learned all that, and he's into it, he feels it, but these are the two blockages, these two negativities. So when you say you're ready and you have a burning desire to serve Hashem, what's going to be with this poison? You're eating nutritionally bad foods, so I can't give you medicine. It's not going to do any good. So what are my lookout signs? Amar haseichel kocho hamidus harishona hey mosrei hamachol. If you eat... Right, either unhealthy foods or way beyond what you need to live. Va'mishta, ba'alavush, you're careful about your clothing. You're not talking about things like looking nice with your clothing. You may think that's your... We all know this is the Yetzer Hara. It definitely is. This is your goal. This is what some people... Anybody that Dafka wants to be in style... You gotta be careful here. I'm a man. What do I know about these things? But certainly there's a difference between being in style because you don't want to look, because you want to look respectable. I'm not talking about sneakers now even, just... I mean, that's your goal. You want to be in style, so that's bad. If you want to... It's bad if... It depends what your reasoning is. Girls, teenage girls, everybody grapples with this. You don't look like a neb. You don't know, right? So again, if you... You know, I imagine there's a line, like you get to the line where you taka look funny, right? You taka don't look like your friends, you don't look like the circles you're in, and so that's covered up real, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But then you want to look cool, right? It's only a thin line till you want to look cool, you want to look in style, like that becomes the goal, to be with it. So as he said, that's all these things, and then it becomes go shopping. I have nothing to wear. Women have different needs than men, obviously. Man has a black suit, like that's it. He has two black suits, three black suits. Doc Brown, I don't know, whatever. A woman is an ASIC, but he's talking to women too, though. I don't know if we all know people like that, but I do. I mean, people lift the shop. I mean, there's people that like that. They to keep up, and then they go shopping is like a thing. It's a thing they do with their lives. They don't just shop to get what they need. They shop. Let's go shopping. I have nothing to do. What do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go shopping. I don't get that. No, so they explained to me, my daughters, that shadows, they never have anything to, they never have enough clothing. So let's go shopping. Maybe we'll be lucky. We'll find something. We'll have mazel. Maybe we'll find something. So they find something, and then my wife says, no, you can't wear that. It's like I used to have two cars in Muncie, one for me, one for the mechanic. My girls have to buy like three, four things to get one, because my wife says you have to return it. You're not gonna wear that. Latinuma, sleeping. Okay, it means relaxing people as a goal in life. What's telltale signs of the second mida? This is fascinating. Most we had the second mida, the second negativity, meaning that you match up your life to what people think. What are telltale signs of that? He says most we had the were talking too much. Very, very interesting. You know, there are people that are quiet. They just sit in a corner. And the people that want always to interact with others, we're not talking about L'shem Mitzvah. We're talking about they are people that perhaps are, at least talking too much is a telltale sign that you care what people think about you. It's like you have to be involved in everything and you have to be the center of attention and the life of the party. And we know from earlier in Shara Avodas Elokim, the Chavis Halavos is a big believer in not talking so much. He says that's one of the things that even if you do it Shalol Lishma, it's still worthwhile. Even if you do it Shalol Lishma, even if you talk, he says two things, even if you do it for gaiva dicker reasons. You want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel pompous. You want to feel like a tzaddik. Two things you should do. It's so good to do that you should do it even if you're doing it for the wrong reason. It's still worthwhile. And that's not talking, so talking very little and sleeping as little as possible without getting sick, of course, without harming your health. He says, talking and sleeping. He says, that's so sleeping, you say, yeah, because sleeping is time. And if you sleep more than you have to, we only dream about that, right? Like, who sleeps enough? What? Who sleeps enough? No. I see someone raising their hand.
No, question's really about sleeping. Yeah. Certain people are more gregarious by nature. Does that mean they're more looking out? They're more, rode v'chorei hakavod versus the
shy person? We can't say that. But the Chavis HaVodos does say that talking gets you into trouble. And it's something that he says it as a universal value. Don't talk so much. Don't talk so much. What are you talking so much for? Like, just be quiet. What do you have to talk so much for? That's what he's saying.
Women talk, though. It's like, right? We were given Tisha Kavan of Dibor.
It's not a good thing. Chavis HaVodos says he's talking to women also. He's saying, don't. It's not osur, but it's one of the things that get you into trouble. Right? The Chazal say it. You talk and then you get jealous because you're talking about what they have and what they bought. And all of a sudden you get jealous and they talk about their husbands and then you look at your husband. Why isn't my husband doing that? This is Ma'aseh B'chol Yom. This is Korach. Korach came home and talked to his wife, said, he talked and then. And she said what she said, and then he said what he said. And this is what the Chavis HaVodos is talking about. Talking gets you into trouble. That's what he says. You don't want to accept it. That's what he says. And if you think about it, it really does. You can talk about values, talk about goals, talk about things you have to talk about. Of course. But Sicha B'Teva. Anyway, that's what he says. He says it many times throughout the Sefer. He's a big believer. He's talking gets you into trouble. And I think if we think about it, we see how right he is. You end up talking Lashon Hara, so much jealousy, and that's what he's saying here. That's one of the telltale signs of, like, you want. Yeah, these what's the word you use?
Gregarious.
Because people, it's not such a good thing. They all want to know what's doing by the other fellow. What happened with him? What happened with him? They have to know everything that's going on in the world. And it's not good. It's not good. He says it's a bad thing.
How do you build a relationship with them?
He's not telling you to make a tainus dibur. But the truth is, we all know. I know people. I'm thinking of people in the shul, even, right? Yeah, I know who talks a lot and who keeps quiet and only talks when he has something to say. Yeah. Like Mr. Ed. I don't know Mr. Ed. You're too young. Mr. Ed was a television show. Yeah. Television show about a talking horse. Mr. Ed was a talking horse.
A horse, of course.
Yeah, Wilbur Post was the owner. Was Wilbur Post? So the song said that he'll only talk when he has something to say, and that's a very big yisod. Only talk when you have something to say. I have to look at my children. I look at my children. Some of them yakety yak, and they're always. And I'll tell you what it leads to. It leads to they want to know what's doing by the other person, and it's none of their business. And then they find out, and then they have to match it, or they have to, right? There's always an ego thing, right? And they, he did this, and he did this. So it's not good. It's not good. Keep to yourself and be quiet and. I don't know. I'm thinking now of like my friends in the shul. Yeah, there are people who are quiet. Quiet. They don't talk unless they have to talk. Anyway, okay. Think about it. This is supposed to be a stimulus for thinking. not everything we say here is, you know, 1,000% exactly. But he says, Mosrei Hadibur, Barav Chevres B'nei Hodom. You see, this looks puzzling to us. I think you got to give him credit for it. He's right. He's saying someone who's very, very sociable is the person who is more apt. See, you can't say it objectively. There's always exceptions. There's always different types of people. But he says someone who's very, very sociable, the backslapper by the party, he's the person that cares about what people think about him. He's the person who's that's part of his life, is people. There's no slam and people liking him, and he likes them, and the avos hamahalel, and he likes when they praise him. Kovod mehem, and the quiet person that sits in the corner, and you know doesn't. Look, he's not talking about averus here. He's talking about impediments to avodas Hashem. We're talking about impediments to avodas Hashem. And it's a rear. If I think of the people I know, it's the rear backslapper, friendly. I could think of some people like that too, who are very outgoing, and very, you know, like they're backslapping and gregarious, and they talk to people, and they're always talking to people. So I know some people who turned that. They became kiruv workers, right? And they're able to approach people and talk to them. Okay, you can channel. That's wonderful. That's channeling your certain teva Hashem gave you, right? So there's different things you can do with that. You can learn chavis alavus, and you could squash it, right? I know somebody. It's very rare, extremely rare. I know someone that changed. You know, people don't change. It's another yisod. But I know someone, Barababa Berman, that's all. So now we're going back 40 years, probably. No, 35 years. And he completely changed. He changed. He used to be. And he managed to change. He became a quiet person. So that's one mahalach. This is like hilchos midos, or you could channel it. So you say, I'm going to use it for avodas Hashem. I'm going to go into kiruv, right? I'm going to become a pirchei leader. I'm going to become
a
rav in a shul gets into a lot of trouble by talking too much. That's I've learned that. Rav in the shul should talk really very little. Really. Yeah, okay, you have to, let's say, Shalom Aleichem, you're away in America, how are you? Which I find very hard to do. Because I usually don't realize they've been away. I get into big trouble. No, but it's interesting you say that. I don't know, there's different kinds of Rabbonim. And I don't know if the best Rav is that backslapper, and how's your grandmother in Florida, and, you know, it's your child's birthday.
It
what?
It doesn't earn respect.
Yeah, I don't
know. Depends on the Kehillah also. Sometimes.
I'll tell you, the people I talk to the most, like I talk, I'm no paragon of virtue, believe me. I don't know, I wonder if I, you know, it's not so good. I'm sure they have less covered for me. I'm like their friend a little too much. And we, you know, I'm sure there's a lack of respect. And therefore, you know, when I tell them something, they get taken aback sometimes. I'm thinking of people, they get taken aback. Because, like, oh, you're telling me what to do. Like, I'm your friend. You know? You made a good point. It's not a mila of the rabbinate. That's what the. I don't think it's such a mila. There was a wonderful article I just read somewhere. Someone sent it to me about how a rabbi has to be an entertainer nowadays. And it was a very good article. Oh my goodness. Okay, so you know we could really spend. You know, these are all tangents. I'm afraid, because he says so many things. He just throws these words out at you, like Rov Chevres B'Nayodim. What's the matter? You can't be friends with people. But, you know, people who are just too much. We know them. They're Snow Slam, and Mameli cares what people think about him, and he's always has a. He's busy with them, and they're busy with him. V'Avos HaMahalel V'Kavod Mehem, and that leads to Kina, B'Kinyonim HaOlamim. I don't know. I'm thinking now. Like I know, like a lot of people. Well, I don't know, I know more than the average person knows, but you know, the good people I know are taka very quiet. Quiet. I was just thinking of one person I know who's like really a very very good person, and he's always talking. But he channeled it. He mamas channeled it into helping people, into finding out. That's a lot of avoda. It's a lot of avoda. He channeled it into helping people, finding out what they need, supporting them, doing things for them. And that's really on you. And one person I know, I'm thinking of someone else who turned it, channeled it into Kiruv. It's unusual. If I look at most people, they're quiet. I'm not quiet. I'm not a good person. They're quiet. I mean, they're taka quiet. They don't speak unless there's something to say. Okay.